I'm Kurt Anderson in Studio 360. In the summer of 2006, a teenager named Bree began posting her video diary on YouTube.
Hi, guys. So this is my first video blog. My name is Bree. I'm 16. I don't really want to tell you where I live because you could, stalk me. Yeah.
Her username was LonelyGirl15. And her series of video blogs was really the first huge breakout success on YouTube. By her sixth video, she was getting upwards of 500,000 views. Then, about a year ago, LonelyGirl15 was outed as a phony. A group of sleuthing fans had identified her as an actress named Jessica Lee Rose, and the writers as three aspiring screenwriters. But that was not the end of LonelyGirl15. She kept a lot of her fan base, including the New York Times TV critic Virginia Heffernan. Producer Brendan Baker asked her why.
In the early days with the videos, when we didn't know where they were coming from, every single thing in them constituted a clue.
When Virginia Heffernan covered the mystery of LonelyGirl15 last summer, she had to be more than just a TV critic. She was a crack investigative reporter.
I joined MySpace and I joined Friendster and I joined all these places to meet people. And at some point, my husband said, "You are trolling for teenage boys online. Like, how does this count as doing your job?" I talked a lot to the other reporters who sort of caught the fever too. You know, and we had a lot of conversations that amounted to, "How are you doing? You know, are you eating and sleeping?"
Meanwhile, the investigation was taking its biggest toll on the people secretly creating LonelyGirl15. Greg Goodfried, Mesh Flenders, and this guy, Miles Beckett.
Every time we put up a video, we were freaked out that somebody was going to literally identify some plant in the background and figure out my home address, which basically almost happened multiple times.
A botanist on the message boards matched them in a botany textbook to some plants that were indigenous to California, and indeed she was in California.
And then things hit way too close to home for co-producer Greg Goodfried.
They started looking into my sister's background, who's had some similar characteristics to Bree. Looked into my parents. Our entire life was basically laid out on the web. And at that point, we all sat around and said, "This is getting crazy. We need to do something." So we called the LA Times and said, "We're ready to talk."
When they told reporters their story, they also announced that they'd keep producing new installments of LonelyGirl15. Now that everybody knew Bree wasn't real, she wasn't limited to doing confessionals in her bedroom anymore. Her stories could run wild.
Run!
And they did. Now they're action-packed, like mini-thrillers with Bree and her friends on the run from a religious cult. Still holding their camcorders, of course. But the transition from a pseudo-reality to a realistic-looking fantasy has been tricky, says producer Miles Beckett.
Writing LonelyGirl15 is an incredibly massive challenge.
Just like real video blogs, LonelyGirl episodes need to clock in at around 3 minutes. Plus, each video has to stand on its own while also contributing to the larger plot arc.
And you can buy tons of books about how to do it for television writing, sitcom writing, dramas. None of those rules exist in internet video because no one's done it before.
And TV critic Virginia Heffernan says that Lonely Girl is a new kind of internet soap opera.
You can do a lot in 3 and 2 minutes. And I think the presupposition in making something so controlled, like an episode of Lonely Girl 15, is that viewers will watch it more than once. Partly you want to keep up with the comments section, and the commenters are notoriously close readers of what they see.
One of those close readers is longtime Lonely Girl fan Glenn Rubenstein.
My first reaction after sitting down and watching all the episodes that had been posted at the time was, "Oh my God, I can't believe I didn't think of this first."
He was so inspired that he started posting his own web videos based on Lonely Girl 15. He cut and pasted clips from the original Lonely Girl and sort of remixed them. Some of them even looked like previews for a horror flick. And then he took his production a step further, turning those videos into a kind of online scavenger hunt, something insiders call an alternate reality game.
I think people really like that sense of exploration, that sense of not having the plot so spoon-fed to them.
The puzzles were a hit, and the Lonely Girl crew took notice. So they invited Rubenstein to integrate his game directly into their new videos. In one video, a series of almost imperceptible dots flash on the corner of the screen. They're letters in Braille, and they're scrambled. And you've got to rearrange those letters to get a clue to yet another puzzle. Eventually, you're left with a string of numbers. Punch them into a phone, and you hear...
Leave a message if you want to, but I only call that girls at these ceremonies.
When they were figuring out the numbers that were linked in the videos and they realized it might be a phone number, they were really scared when they were calling it because, well, for a lot of people, it was like the middle of the night. And that sense of excitement and fear and nervousness, I think, is not an experience that people really get from just sort of passively watching media.
And now, Lonely Girl producer Greg Goodfried and the others are trying to solve a puzzle of their own.
If you have a show on the internet that's massively popular, you're going to become famous. But you're certainly not going to be rich.
So, how do you make a living off of Lonely Girl 15?
Hey, what is that?
What?
Their solution?
Icebreaker sour scum.
Can I have a piece?
I would love a piece.
Product placements.
I only have four left. Yeah. Whoa, it's sour.
They've also introduced a new character.
Our cry for help was heard by a research scientist at one of the largest companies in the world, Neutrogena.
Yeah, the skincare company. This strikes a false note with TV critic Virginia Heffernan, but it reminds her of another storytelling technique in its early form, the novel about 300 years ago.
So in the 18th century, novels in English, you know, were supposed to get ordinary life in perfect detail. And they also tried to pass, incidentally, as journals. So some of them wrote in present tense and some of them wrote in first person. So take Richardson's Pamela. It's supposed to be the diary of a girl who's very afraid she's going to lose her virginity. And she is literally writing, oh my God, he's coming near. He's coming now. I'm writing under my pillow and I think he's coming into my room and he's almost going to pull up my nightgown and I'm really scared. And okay. So, it reads as a little bit silly to us now, but you know, as silly as Lonely Girl 15 maybe already does seem.
And a recent plot twist will test the show's staying power. At the end of the last season, they apparently killed off Bree. We'll see how long that lasts.
But there are things that they're doing very, very deftly. I mean, these scenes don't look like television, and they don't sound like radio. Maybe in France, there's some people that have to sit on a panel to decide if something's a new art form or not. But if I'm allowed to just say, ex cathedra, this is a new art form, I'm happy to say it is.
For Studio 360, I'm Brendan Baker. Way back in the corner, I saw you dancing by yourself. So I went over to ask you if you wanted help.
You can watch one of our favorite Lonely Girl 15 videos at studio360.org.